Well, hello, basketball, you old friend. We haven't checked in on you in a while, so we will spend the first segment talking about that before we have the age-old debate of, hey, would you rather have three cupcake games or go on the road against a Power 5 team? And then some mailbag questions like, well, why did MSU go for two so many times on Saturday? And then would we rather have Scotty Hazleton as defensive coordinator or Dave Warner as our offensive coordinator? That's right, let's go.
You are Locked On Spartans, your daily podcast on the Michigan State Spartans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Spartan friends, Spartan family, thank you so much for kicking off your day with us here on Locked On Spartans. That's right, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, talking about your green and white team 5 days a week. I am your host, Matt Sheehan, and before going any further, shout out to Bet Online, because today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. It's Bet Online where the game starts. All right, hey, before getting into some basketball talk, really quick, hey, please rate, review, and subscribe here to the podcast or YouTube channel. That's right, if you want to see this tremendously underwhelming face 5 days a week, we got a YouTube channel, and if that's how you're watching it right now, thank you very much for giving us a shot here. Really appreciate it. Also, LockedOnSpartans@gmail.com. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you just need a place to vent after games. I know a good number of you did that after the game on Saturday, and that's appreciated as well. Get a nice pulse of how everyone else is feeling. So let's just get right into the show now. Let's talk basketball. That's right. That's the sport played with the orange ball. They got the two hoops that are 10 feet off the ground. We haven't talked about basketball in a long time, so I just need to refresh it myself because, well, it's football season. We had a big game last week. It kind of dominates the news cycle, but we are going to be chatting about Sparty hoops right now. First and foremost, the biggest news going on this offseason was dropped last week, and that is that sophomore guard, sophomore wing player, whatever you want to describe him, Jaden Akins, surgery for a stress fracture in his left foot. It's going to be out 4 weeks. After that, they are hoping that he will be cleared to practice, be ready by the start of the season, and look, it goes without saying that that's not good. That's not what we want to see or hear. Any injury is not an injury we want to see for any Spartan, for any college athlete. So it really, really also hurts, though, when it is a fracture on the left foot, especially for the basketball player. And especially if that basketball player plays the game the way Jaden Akins plays, really explosive, high-flying, really puts a lot of stress on that foot. So what we did here, that's right, we got medical, we got researchical, if that's a word. The National Library of Medicine came out with a report not too long ago that actually looked at NBA stress injuries from 2005 to 2015. And I did this because, hey, maybe like you, you hear stress fracture in a basketball player and you think, okay, a little easier said than done just to bounce back from an injury like that. So I want to see if there was anything to that. The National Library of Medicine had the report. They took all the injuries from the last decade of 2005-2015. And if it's a fifth metatarsal stress fracture, which we don't know if it is, we don't know exactly where in the foot Jaden Akins hurt, where he's having surgery on, 42% of those players from 2005-2015 in the NBA, only 42% of those were unable to return to play basketball professionally. Now, other foot stress fractures, maybe it wasn't the fifth metatarsal stress fracture, maybe it was just somewhere in the middle of the foot, somewhere else in the foot, the heel, perhaps, I don't know. 36.4% of players were unable to return to professional basketball. Now, before we all start panicking and we go to DEFCON 1 and, you know, chalk up Jaden Akins out for the whole season, they also wrote this as well. There's two ways that you could treat the stress fracture. It's just by relaxing, chilling, doing the whole rice thing, rest, ice, compression, elevation, that whole nine yards, or the operation route, the surgical route. And the National Library of Medicine in their report wrote, quote, players who underwent surgery had significantly better performance at 2 years than those who were managed non-operatively, independent of the type of injury. Yeah, so what they did also is after the injury, they looked at where this NBA player was 2 years after the fact. And it looks like that, yeah, you know, having surgery does drastically improve your chances of recovering from this injury and playing as close as you can to your peak performance. So there it is right there. It's kind of two ways to look at it. One, okay, it's not an injury that we want to hear, especially, again, for the explosive way Jaden Akins plays, but also it looks like surgery is the way to go, so nip it in the bud, get it done in the offseason, and we'll see if he's going to be ready, you know, game one against Northern Arizona, or if we got to wait later in the season to see Akins. I'm sure Izzo will, you know, update us accordingly because, hey, he likes to give information, so there you have it. Now, why is this bad? Okay, let's get the obvious one out of the way. Spartan is hurt. Yeah, that's of course not good, but what does it mean for the roster and the makeup of this team? Well, right now MSU is kind of already somewhat behind the eight ball with how many scholarship players they have on this team coming up this season, which is 10. They only have 10 guys making or that are on scholarship that are, well, on this roster. And so now you're down to 9 guys if he can't go right off the bat. And more importantly, you're also out a starter. And let's say Hall steps up to the 3 to take over for Akins. And then Pierre Brooks slides to the 4. Okay, who's coming off the bench then? I think Pierre Brooks was a real good candidate to be a solid 6th man. Okay, now he's thrust into the starting lineup potentially to make up for Akins' absence. Now you got freshman Jackson Kohler as your first guy off the bench. Maybe Trayvon Holloman, another freshman. I don't know. It could get a little slippery of, okay, well, who do you have to look at on the bench? Say someone gets in foul trouble or, God forbid, another player gets hurt. So, yeah, that's depth is going to be a big thing this year. And, yeah, when we see that there's an issue maybe brewing already, can't help to get a little nervous about that. And, again, you're missing an explosive guy who can play above the rim, shoot the ball pretty well, and defend pretty decently with a pretty high motor as well. So you're just missing a dynamic player altogether. And the best comparison I can make to Jaden Akins' game is a cross-sport comparison. He's the basketball version of Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman didn't do really much of anything his freshman year, but hey, when he did do something, we all got pretty excited and said, oh yeah, wait for his next season. This is going to be great. That's Jaden Akins, a guy that averaged less than 5 points last year, less than 5 rebounds, but like, we're all expecting him to explode this year, so hopefully he can heal in the 4 weeks and get ready to go. And of course, I don't think they'll rush back the injury, but let's hope that doesn't happen either. Now, of course, the silver lining here, there's not much, but you're dealing with it now in the off season, then, you know, as opposed to during the season. And again, I want to reiterate this point. Surgery does impact how these injuries are recovered from and dealt with. And that's not just me, a clown with a microphone talking. That was an actual research study done by the National Library of Medicine. So there we go. Two other quick things to do or to talk about in basketball is that Michigan State will be taking on Tennessee in a closed door scrimmage. So no, this will not impact Michigan State's seeding. And yes, Michigan State didn't get enough of their difficult non-conference schedule coming up with the likes of Gonzaga, Kentucky, the PK85 tournament. Tom Izzo said, you know what, let's just go down. Let's go down to Tennessee to face those guys in the offseason as well, because I want us as iron-forged as humanly possible going into this year. Now, when the date is going to be, don't know. They're very coy about that. They're very mum about when exactly this scrimmage will take place, but obviously probably sometime in the next few weeks. And then next year, Tennessee will come up to our place to play the Spartans in a closed-door scrimmage as well. So, of course, tickets not available. That's just kind of an earmark on the whole thing. Also, you know what? I lied. There are now two more quick things. The whole 2023 recruiting class will be on campus this weekend. So if you're at the game, the football game, if you see these young gentlemen, fire them up. Let's start getting them ready, not just for the upcoming season, but for the following season, of which they will finally be here for. And last but not least, which I thought was pretty interesting, is that Michigan State basketball is going through grind week right now. This is workouts. This is scrimmages. This is around-the-clock basketball and conditioning. Really, you know, I've talked to Travis Trice on this show last year about grind week, and he said, like, yeah, from the outside looking in, you might think it's this great reunion, and oh yeah, we're just going to party and hang out and reminisce on the old days. Like, no, it's like they are back in the program and they are gearing up for another season. This is no joke of a week during grind week. So a lot of guys, too, that play professional basketball or are trying to make their way back professionally or just want a good workout, they come back to campus. And one of those guys was Corey Lucius. So yes, for all the weird people out there that have that argument that, oh, the former players hate Tom Izzo, actually. No one actually likes him. Oh, he's so mean to the... Then tell me why a guy that transferred out of the program is still coming back to hang out with the team. Kind of how highly regarded he is that, yeah, the family atmosphere at Michigan State... Sorry, haters. It's not a joke. It's actually legit because, yes, even guys that left the program in the middle of their college career still come home to East Lansing and Tom Izzo. Sorry if that offends you. All right, we are going to switch it back to football, back to the gridiron. We're going to have the debate of, hey, was scheduling this Power 5 road game a good idea? Or would we rather take the cupcake route and get three easy wins? But first, I need to talk to you folks about a new one. That's right, you won't see this one coming. NuGenix. We are chatting your ear off about NuGenix. Look, hey, feel like you just can't get in shape? I get it. It's not your fault. As men age, our bodies naturally lose free testosterone, the man hormone, if you will, and it happens to every man and can make it more difficult to stay in shape and be energetic, active, anything that you really want to be. So, you want more energy to counter the negative physical effects of aging? NuGenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Testofen will help you turn back the clock, re-energize your workouts, get you better results at the gym, and help you look and feel like the man you really want to be. NuGenix Total T contains man-boosting key ingredients like Testofen. It has been validated in 5 clinical studies shown to boost free testosterone levels in men. NuGenix Total T is the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC, and NuGenix Total T can help re-energize your life and help you get back to the powerful, confident, good-looking warrior that you used to be. So what are you waiting for? Now get a complimentary bottle of NuGenix Total T when you text COLLEGE to 231-231. That's 231-231. Text now and get a bottle of NuGenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text COLLEGE to 231-231. One more time, text COLLEGE to 231-231. All right, as we get back into the mix here, hey, thank you so much for making us your first listen here at the Locked On Spartans podcast. Let's have a debate that really, honestly, isn't even Michigan State specific. This is a college football-wide debate that, you know, we're now having, and it's ramped up more in this state because it's the tale of two sides. It's Michigan State that, yeah, just obviously went on the road to face a good Power 5 team at a tough environment versus the other school down the road that has faced, like, 3 Boy Scout troops so far this season. And the question is that I posed on Twitter. It wasn't a scientific poll. It was only up for 3 hours, but we almost got 1,000 votes. It read, as a fan of a Power 5 team, would you rather your team's non-conference schedule include a road game versus Power 5 or nothing but cupcake teams? Now, I talked about this 2 days ago after MSU got beat pretty badly against Washington that I said I would do nothing but cupcake teams. And I wanted to talk about it to see if I was in the minority. And if so, how deep in the minority am I? Well, if you're someone that wants a road game against Power 5 teams, congratulations, you are in the majority. 70% of you voted for you would want this road game against a Power 5 team. 30%, like myself, said nothing but cupcake teams. And this was, oddly enough, a poll that really upset people down the road, got really sensitive. Oddly, I don't get why they just can't embrace being 3-0 and dominating 3 teams that are absolutely horrible. Like, look, you talk to an MSU fan after 2 weeks and, hey, you guys are only 2-0 because you played bad MAC teams. Yeah, that's correct. Yep. You tell them that they're 3-0 because they played Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn, and oh my God, how dare you? No, we're the leaders in the back. Just like inaudible whining. It's very straight, big inferiority complex going on over there. Because I don't know how many other fan bases are 3-0 and care how much other people think about their schedule, but they do things differently in Ann Arbor. Like, they point to, hey, Alabama played Austin Peay, UL Monroe, and Utah State this year. You think we're the only ones with cupcakes? And they just don't include the little detail that they just played in Austin against Texas 10 days ago. So yeah, just a lot of whining and bad faith arguments over there, but you guys do you. I swear there's a gas leak going on over there 24/7. Anyway, so why would I go with the people that are suffering from the gas leak? Why would I actually say that Michigan is correct in their scheduling? This is something that I talked about on Monday's show and also during the offseason. I've been on this wave for a while, and you know how much it pains me to say Michigan did something right, but hey, I'm in the minority here of why you should schedule three cupcakes. And we're going to hear both sides of the argument, because a lot of you on Twitter brought up your arguments for why a road game against a Power 5 is the way to go. So I don't think that this is a, hey, what I'm saying is factual and you must bow down. Like, no, I think that this is a debate where both sides have great points and we could walk away like adults and understand that, yeah, sure, there's arguments for both ways. So why a cupcake? And this is my side. I'll reiterate it again. Teams that have college football playoff hopes, you lose early, you have to pitch a perfect game the rest of the season. That's it. Like, that is the thesis of my argument right there. Now, was Michigan State a legit college football playoff contender? Maybe not. But it's hard not to think about it for a little bit when you just came off a Peach Bowl victory last year. You won 11 games. But I digress. Still, even without the college football playoff, you are giving yourself no parachute. Look, I get it. Like, if you win that game, awesome. You're feeling really good about yourself. But if you lose that game, like, let's say MSU lost in Miami last year. You know, let's say things did not go well in South Beach. Okay, that means that instead of the Peach Bowl, MSU is probably in the Outback Bowl or Citrus Bowl. Just not a New Year's Six bowl game. So, yes, this college football playoff is the end-all be-all for me, for the most part. There's also something to be said about the difference between even a New Year's Six bowl and a not New Year's Six Bowl. So, sure, I get it. Like, you want to learn the most about your team against tough competition. But for me, what's even more valuable than that is putting a tally mark in the win column. The first person that we are going to reach out to on Twitter right now, this is Maximus Decimus Meridus, if I said that right. He voted for cupcake tune-up games. The Big Ten East is enough of a challenge in of itself. Just win and make the playoffs. No one cares what your non-conference games were if you win the conference or the Natty. That's my third argument there too. You know, is that the Big Ten East is already a gauntlet. Like, if MSU was a Big Ten West team, fine. Awesome. Challenge yourself. Get an actually good win on your record. But Big Ten East, no shortage of that, especially this year. Hey, Michigan's still good. Ohio State, surprise, probably really good. Penn State, they're looking like a top 15, if not top 10 team lately. So why hang yourself out to dry? I'm going to bring up actually a name that everyone's going to love. This is going to go great in the comments section below. But hey, remember Donald Trump? Not the president, the game show host. We're going to talk about Apprentice. I was a huge fan of that show. And hey, what would happen at the end? You would get to bring in three of your teammates into the boardroom. As the project manager, you got to nominate three people to send in. One of those three were going to get fired every single episode. Now, one or two episodes, maybe even three, the project manager volunteered himself to go into the fire. And all one, two, or three times he did it, that's right, the game show host looked right at him and said, you know what? Why are you even putting yourself up for danger right now? Why would you even make yourself vulnerable? You're out. You're fired. It's kind of what you're doing when you're scheduling actually tough games. You're putting yourself in unnecessary danger for no good reason. Like, look, you think Texas A&M is thrilled they just had Appalachian State in-house, a really competent team? No. They have to run the table in the SEC West now to make the college football playoff. You think Ohio State was thrilled to play Oregon last year? I doubt so. That's my argument right there. Now let's look at your arguments, the majority arguments of why not the cupcake schedule. Bound to win, we're going to go to him first, that Power 5 opponent shows you where your team is truly stands and doesn't hurt you in winning the conference, which there is something to be said about that. Shouldn't keep you out of the playoff unless it's a blowout. And then he writes, sorry, Oregon, who got lambasted by Georgia, as I'm sure you all remember earlier this season. But yeah, that is a fair point too. Let's say that maybe the college football playoff is a step too high, and that could probably be correct. I think we saw that it is correct to maybe realize that that was unreasonable for the season. But yeah, it has no standing on your conference record, so that's 100% a valid talking point. B. Will says, have to see what your team is early in the season, set proper expectations. And I'm not going to dismiss that. I think that Michigan State did learn a lot of stuff last week. Now, whether it's anything they could actually change, like can the offensive line go from pretty bad to pretty great that quick? We'll see, but at least you know the issues, but being able to fix the issues and actually get those wins back, that's a different story. So I do get what you're saying there. A heel sports fan wrote, honestly, losing a game like that does more good for a team than beating some lower end school. Now that's a debate we could have for the next hour, because we could just have the parlor game debate of, hey, I say that, no, you only get 12 games, you want to jam that win column as much as you can, versus, hey, you got tested, you were exposed, and just like what B. Will wrote, that you get the opportunity to learn from your legitimate mistakes. You don't get to hide behind the mirage of playing against cupcake teams. So I do completely understand you there, and honestly, hey, this is an issue that also Michigan fans sounded off on in the comments. This is my guy, Patrick G. Know him personally. One of the few Michigan fans that I could actually have a conversation with. It's great. He said, honestly, Corum said it himself about Michigan. He said they feel like they have a chance to be elite, but really have no clue how good they really are still because they've played no one. So I'll take Patrick's word for it that Corum said that. If the players are saying it themselves, then yeah, 100%. I see where the majority is coming in with, but yeah, my case is, hey, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how you looked, what you did, who you played against. It just matters how many tallies are in that win column versus how many tallies are in that loss column. Now, with that said, once this expands to a 12-team playoff, I think it's a different story, because I think then that's when strength of schedule is actually going to start mattering. And it really, I don't think, matters in the 14 playoff when it's essentially just, hey, who has zero or one losses, by the way? Because you're the only four teams that are able to be invited here. So come on down. It doesn't matter who you played in September. Just make sure you just have the one by your loss column and you're good to go. So there it is. Again, hey, I love having the debate. I think a lot of people wrote good points. And we'll probably still have this debate as the season and the years coming up go along here. So we're going to get into the mailbag here. Look at some interesting coaching decisions from Saturday's game. Like, why did MSU go for 2 points as often as they did? But first, I need to talk to you fine folks about betonline.net. Woo! BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season, gang. That's right. We have got a big one Saturday. Michigan State actually 2.5-point underdogs. If you don't believe that, go to betonline.net and take the Spartans. Why not? Let's get nuts. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games. Shouldn't have read that. This is old copy. Sorry about that. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events is at BetOnline. Catch up on all the MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf news. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. That is at BetOnline, where the game starts. Also, hey, shout out to AcrePro Midwest Farm Group, your local farmland specialist, because when it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner. With decades of experience in Corn Belt agriculture, no one knows the market better. Whether you're doing a 1031 exchange, expanding your operation, or selling a row crop farm, your local AcrePro agent will walk the land with you and ensure the deal is done right. Great service is just the beginning at AcrePro as well. AcrePro provides unparalleled land data, including soil ratings, elevation, flood zones, and land valuation across parcels so that you can get the full picture up front and be confident in the entire land market. Your agent will cater to each of your individual needs and help you navigate the complexities of buying and selling land so that the process is made super simple. Experience the ease of AcrePro by working with farmland specialists like Kyle Rule, Brady Hammond, Neil Herr, and Kyle Spray. Visit AcrePro.com or call 765-587-3185 and talk to your local land expert today. Again, 765-587-3185, AcrePro Midwest Farm Group. And as we get into the mailbag, thank you so much for anyone that ever emails, really. LockedOnSpartans@gmail.com is the place to find us. And for this first question here, if you are watching on YouTube, I'm going to try to pull up a graphic here. Let's see if it works. This is very hit or miss sometimes, but we're going to hope for a hit here because this deals with The two-point conversions that Mel Tucker was trying relentlessly on Saturday. So, our friend over at LockedOnSpartans@gmail.com, Chad, wrote in, "One thing my brothers and I couldn't understand from the top row of the stadium, why did we go for two every single time? Yes, we were down 22 early, but the first half seemed to be a stretch to chase points. Didn't feel like the, quote, chart called for it at the time." Mel Tucker talked about this earlier this week and pretty much essentially said as much as that, that, oh yeah, that's just what the chart called for. And if you're watching on YouTube, we have a chart right here. And this was actually very relevant to the Lions game. If you watch that, Washington was down 14 points. They went for two, and that was very odd. Or is it? Now, I'm going to try to describe this chart for everyone listening on the podcast, but hey, here's the reasoning why when you're down 14 points, you should go for two on that first touchdown in your comeback. Because if you convert, and let's say there's a 50% chance of converting, okay, your next touchdown, should you score another unanswered one, easy extra point, bang, you get the easy win. So a 50% chance at a regulation win. Now, let's say you fail the first two-point conversion. Now you're down 8 points. You get to try it again. Okay, now we get to go to overtime. And let's say that there's an even split between overtime and overtime loss. That gives an additional 12.5% to the probability of winning the game. So yes, you can control the game if you go for two down 14 points. But like, you know, Chad said, a lot of this was not down 14 points. The bulk of this was down three possessions. So it's almost like an extended version of this chart that you see on the screen. Now let's go through all four scenarios. Michigan State went for 2 points. Okay, first time Michigan State scores, it's 22-6. And hey, if you convert the two-point conversion here, all you got to do is score two extra touchdowns and two extra points, and now it's a tie game. Of course, the defense didn't let for that to be a tie game, but still, that is the theory. We're going to get out of the way right now, and if we miss it, okay, we're still going to convert next time to make it 14-22, and then try another two-point conversion after that. And also, early enough in the game, you can have the rest of the game to scramble for those points should the second two-point opportunity go bad, or the third, too. Now, the second time Michigan State scored, all right, well, hey, they made the two-point conversion at last time, so now this touchdown makes it 29-14. We're down just 15 points right now. Let's go for two, shall we? And if they make it, you're down 13 points, and it goes back to that chart. You're down two unanswered touchdowns, and you just have to kick the two easy extra points. You got the hard stuff out of the way early, but they missed. So now they had to go back and do another successful two-point try before the point after attempt. I know this might be a little confusing, but believe me, oddly enough, this does make sense for what Michigan State was doing. The third time, they scored to make it 39-20. Great. Awesome. You're down 18 points if you kick the extra point. But if you make the two-point conversion, now you're just down 17. And that's down two touchdowns with normal extra points and a field goal versus being down two touchdowns and then you got to go for two. Again, yada, yada, yada. So we're talking about chasing a nearly 20-point deficit here, but it was a moot point in the end. But that was the thinking behind it, is that, okay, well, two touchdowns, two extra points, and a field goal is a lot better than, oh, I don't know, like two touchdowns, another two-point try, and then maybe a field goal. And the fourth and final time, end of the game here, they scored to make it 39-26. And hey, if you make the two-point conversion, now you're just down 11 points, which is a touchdown, two-point try, and a field goal. Unfortunately, that was the easiest roadmap. And they made it. They did. But if they kicked the extra point, then Michigan State still would have been down 12 and then needed two touchdowns to either tie or take the lead. So there you have it right there. I know it's odd, it's confusing, it's kind of new age thinking in football, but yeah, that's the way it is. And the broadcast crew for the Lions Commanders game, they were very puzzled why Washington was going for two. But if you look at the chart, like, going for two on your first touchdown when you're trying to mount a comeback, it boosts your odds of winning, you know, substantially. So that's the long and short of it. Now, also, Chad hit us up with a good question. Also, you can only choose one to fix the defense. Scheme, play calling, execution, or personnel. Which pill do you take? I wish I took a lot of pills on Saturday, Chad. Anyway, plenty of blame to go around, but I'm leaning execution until I see an actual catchable ball slash receiver defended. Yeah, obviously the answer is all of the above, no doubt about it. But if I'm going to follow Chad's rules and just take one pill from Saturday's game, I'm going to take the play calling route. And this is something that we talked about with Steven Brooks yesterday. I complained up and down about it ever since the game ended Saturday, is the play calling, because, look, Penix was never pressured. It's because he also kind of like rarely ever blitzed. You played soft coverage the entire game. You rarely tried to press the receivers to try to make them actually give effort for their routes, maybe jam them up a little bit to give the pass rush a little bit of time to get to the quarterback. So, yeah, look, there's blame to go all around. The scheme, the players were getting confused out there, the execution, but above all, Saturday specifically, I got to go with play calling here. And if Minnesota throws the ball all over the yard against us on Saturday, and it's still a lack of blitzes, it's still a lack of press coverage, I'm already starting to lose hair to begin with. Like, this hairline isn't anything flattering. It's going to be completely gone by the time I record Sunday's episode. So please just try something different when everything isn't working. It's not a lot to ask for. And last but not least, I hated this question and loved this question at the same time. This is from Shane. Here we go. You are forced to choose between having Dave Warner as your offensive coordinator or Scotty Hazleton as your defensive coordinator. Oh, boy. So Dave Warner as my offensive coordinator again, or Scotty Hazleton still as my defensive coordinator. Who do you choose and why? I'm sticking with Scotty. I'm sticking with Scotty Hazleton, and here's why. Like, we just have to think of last year. Last year taught us that you could still win and still win a lot of games, even with a really, 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 really bad pass defense. MSU won 11 games in a New Year's Six Bowl. That's pretty good. And you did that in spite of a, well, national worst secondary. And also, like 2018, 2019, on the contrary, taught me, probably taught you, that even with a great defense, it's still incredibly hard to win if nothing is happening on the offensive side of the ball. So, yeah, that 2018 defense, superb. What were they awarded with? A trip to the Red Box Bowl. Woo! Good job, everyone. So, no, Dave Warner, I don't know what he's doing actually right now. I don't know if he's on another staff. No one even gave me the answer. I don't care, quite frankly. Yeah, you could stay over where you're at, because I'm not going to bring you back to MSU to watch whatever that was the last few years all over again. All right, gang. Well, that was awesome. That was fun. Good conversation. Hey, share your thoughts on the great debate below of Power 5 Conference opponent versus Cupcake opponent below, and LockedOnSpartans@gmail.com if you ever want to reach out. You guys are the best. We will be back tomorrow with a really fun collaboration with Locked On Gophers host Kane Rubb. Actually, just recorded that earlier today. One awesome. That will be on this channel tomorrow, so keep it tuned here. Until then, hey, enjoy the rest of your day. Love you all. Go Green.